the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Thursday morning. You are tuning your heart to the truth with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado and David Dawson. Hey, guys. Good morning.
Hey. Good morning. Happy Thursday.
Happy Feast of St. Bartholomew.
It is.
In fact, in commemoration today and to beat the heat, I'm going to go sit under a fig tree.
Well, good for you.
There you go.
You going to eat a few figs, too?
No, I'm just going to sit under there. Yeah, just going to sit under there. Wait for Jesus, because I think he's
going to... Hope for the best.
Yeah. You never know.
Well, while Dave's under the tree, we'll say a prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. O almighty and everlasting God, who did give to your apostle Bartholomew grace truly to believe and to preach your word, grant, we beseech you, unto your church to love that word which he believed, and both to preach and receive the same, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Saint Nathaniel or Bartholomew, pray for us.
Pray for us. You'll learn more about our saint of the day later on in today's show, but we're starting off with some events in our listening area at 10 after. You can find all of these events at our website at ccmedia.live. In 18 minutes, Lisa Flood joins us. She is a Catholic speaker, and you've heard her on Catholic Community Radio. Well, we have a monthly segment called Conversion Corner, and Lisa Flood joins us for our debut of Conversion Corner once a month to talk about her reversion story to the Catholic faith. She has a really powerful one. So looking forward to hearing from Lisa and hearing her story. In 35 minutes, Maddie Van Hout joins Damian and David in the Baton Rouge studio. Maddie is a Catholic missionary of the Culture Project, and she's going to be talking about their ministry and outreach. Mm-hmm. And in 48 minutes, we have Archbishop Gregory Amon joining us. He's the Archbishop of the Archdiocese of New Orleans, and he is talking back to school in the Archdiocese. So it's always a joy to have any bishop or archbishop joining us, especially Archbishop Amon. So looking forward to these wonderful guests for today's show.
Yes, indeed.
And Damian, looking forward to your weather report, because it's just been a repeat of the last month, I feel like. But hope somewhere.
Young lady.
Oh, boy.
Would you believe some parts of Baton Rouge got rain yesterday?
I saw that.
And others in our listening area as well.
Yeah.
And so, the power of prayer prevails.
Amen.
Keep praying. There's a 25% chance of rain today, mainly in the afternoon. Right. But the high is still going to be about 103, and it's still going to be brutal out there for those of you having to work outdoors. Winds out of the southeast at 5 to 10. Tomorrow through Sunday, no real change. 103 to 104 is the expected high.
Wow.
And to give you some hope, we do have a 60% chance of rain on Tuesday of next week.
Okay, I'll take it.
Rain. Next week, yep. Next Tuesday, 60% chance. And as they put a little asterisk, subject to change.
Subject to change.
Yeah,
right when it gets to Baton Rouge, it's going to just evaporate away.
Temperatures in and around the area, everybody already in the 80s. 81 in Covington as well as Baton Rouge. 82 in Houma Thibodeau. Over in Gulfport, it's 83. And believe it or not, New Orleans, 87 degrees at 5 after 7 in the morning.
Uh-oh.
So it's hot, to say the least. If you wanted to know a little bit of what the underworld feels like, we're living it. God's saying, hey,
it's time to repent.
And it gets hotter than this, so you better straighten up, okay? In the meantime, we're straightening up. We've got events and the gospel coming your way. It's 5 after the hour on this Thursday morning, August 24th.
Thank you. Good morning, a blessed feast of the Apostle St. Bartholomew. Today's Gospel comes to us from John chapter 1. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one about whom Moses wrote in the law, and also the prophets, Jesus the son of Joseph from Nazareth." But Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Here is a true child of Israel. There is no duplicity in him." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, I saw you under the fig tree." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than this." And he said to him, "Amen, amen, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." We've heard the Gospel, and now we reflect.
St. Bartholomew is identified in today's Gospel as Nathanael, one of the 12 apostles. Andrew brought Peter to Jesus. Philip brought Nathanael. Philip saw in Jesus the fulfillment of God's promises as the Messiah who would act on behalf of his people. He explained in excitement, "We have found the one about whom Moses wrote in the law, and also the prophets, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Behind and above all the great figures in the history of God's people, there is a powerful unifying reality, foreshadowed in the lives of the patriarchs and prophets, hinted at in Israel's poor ones who are especially faithful to and reliant upon God, and glimpsed in the righteous kings. The Messiah will come. He is the object of mystical longing and viewed as the heavenly bridegroom. He is described in prophecy, anticipated in prayer, and praised for his mercy to sinners. He is one Philip enthusiastically declared, "We have found him. He is Jesus from Nazareth." Nathanael responded with condescending skepticism. "Can any good come from Nazareth?" Jesus replies in prophetic language that connects Nazareth with the branch, that is, the sprout or shoot that comes from the stump of Jesse, David's father, who is a messianic branch figure in the prophet Zechariah. By saying that he saw Nathanael under the fig tree, which represents Israel, Nathanael understood that Jesus not only identified himself as the Messiah, but he is also inviting Nathanael to rest under his protective branches. So this faithful Israelite responded to the grace of insight by declaring, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God." Surrendering our preconceived ideas is never easy. It is difficult to change or abandon paradigms. But here is our question of the day. How open are we to following Nathanael's example by openly surrendering to God's Word? Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Father Chris. Thank you, Jimmy Sagers. And speaking of Father Chris, we want to send him our condolences. He's one of us here at Catholic Community Media. He's one of the board here at Catholic Community Media. His mother passed away last night, so we want to send him our condolences and our prayers. And any of us who knew Marie Decker knew what a joy it was to be around that little lady. Just a twinkle in her eye. She was always smiling, always had a great sense of humor. And just a very, very patient woman. So I loved her dearly, and it was a beautiful and peaceful death. So once again, we pray for Father Chris Decker and the soul of Marie Decker.
So, amen.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah. Good woman, and raised a fine young man to be a great priest.
Yes.
Indeed.
Event-wise, you know, Pro Vita is coming up in Baton Rouge as far as their annual event. They're having their Youth March for Life benefit dinner on October 19th. It'll be held where it has been for a while, St. Michael High School Multipurpose Gym in Baton Rouge. It's at 6:30. $80 a person, $600 for a table of eight. There's going to be dinner, a silent auction, and a pro-life community and action talks. So it's a great event, a lot of fun. If you want to participate, all you have to do is go to youthmarchforlife.org or ccmedia.live to get all the details. Proceeds will provide scholarships and reduce costs for seminarians as well as religious and youth to attend the March for Life coming up in usually
is,
in March.
It is. It's so worth it to support this because they don't. It's a pilgrimage more than just they don't just get them on the bus and get them there. They stop along the way at holy places and everything. And y'all, I'm here to tell you this Pro Vitae dinner, for the scholarships and everything for these kids when they go up there, it's life changing for a lot of kids, and a lot of vocations have come out of this.
Sure.
So it's very, very important. Oh, yeah. So we encourage everyone to support that. So
Thursday, October 19th.
There you go. There you go. Notre Dame Seminary community is blessed to be celebrating 100 years of forming men for the priesthood, and they're inviting you to join them at the 100th anniversary Rector's Dinner on Thursday, September 14th at the Roosevelt Hotel in New Orleans. The Rector's Dinner is an occasion for our community to celebrate with benefactors, alumni, and friends of the seminary. And they'll be recognizing the generous benefactors who have been instrumental in the growth and success of Notre Dame Seminary over the years. This year's honorees are Ms. Gail Benson, Mr. and Mrs. Joe Canizzaro, and Mr. and Mrs. Frank Stewart, and Ms. Philip Taylor. And they have invested wisely. September 14th, once again, Thursday, at the Roosevelt Hotel in New Orleans. And so for more information, go to ccmedia.live.
Yes. Well, registration is now open and closes on Monday, September 4th for those wanting to attend the Most Blessed Sacrament Women's ACT retreat scheduled for October 19th through the 22nd. Space is limited and transportation will be provided to the retreat site in Rosaryville in Ponchatoula. ACTS is an acronym for Adoration, Community, Theology, and Service, and invites retreatants to use the weekend to strengthen their faith, renew themselves spiritually, and build strong friendships within the parish community by utilizing prayer, service, and teaching. You can go to ccmedia.live for more information.
Okay. And Holly Carney, one of the producers for the film Fatima, is going to speak tonight over at St. Francis Xavier Church on Metairie Road. There's going to be food, drink, and it'll also start with a talk at 6 o'clock. So go and check that out. It is 15 after the hour on Waco.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for August 24th. Today we celebrate St. Bartholomew. We immediately recognize the name of Bartholomew, one of Jesus' original 12 apostles, though we don't know much about him. In Hebrew, his name tells us that he is the son of Tholomaeus. Some scholars identify Bartholomew with Nathanael, who was summoned by Philip to join Jesus' followers. In turn, Jesus paid Nathanael a great compliment. Here is a true Israelite. There is no duplicity in him. Later, Nathanael was one of the apostles to whom Jesus appeared on the shore of the Sea of Tiberias after his resurrection. These unknown or little-known apostles were foundation stones, the 12 pillars of the New Israel, whose 12 tribes now encompass the whole earth. Their personalities were secondary to the role they played in sharing their firsthand experiences, speaking in the name of Jesus, putting the Word made flesh into human words for the enlightenment of the world. Their holiness was a gift that they had to share with others. The good news is that all of us are called to the holiness of being Christ's members by the gracious gift of God. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 19 past the hour. I'm Gabby Smith along with Damian Collado and David Dawson. You are listening to Wake Up. Well, today is the first day of our monthly segment, our new segment called Conversion Corner, where every month we talk to someone who has converted or reverted back to the Catholic Church, and hoping that their stories inspire many to maybe tell their stories as well. So I love hearing about these stories. I think they're very inspirational. Mm-hmm. And today we have Lisa Flood joining us. She's a Catholic speaker and the winner of the Regina Mottram Award in the Archdiocese of New Orleans and a wonderful supporter of Catholic Community Media. Good morning, Lisa. Thank you for being with us.
Good morning, Gabby. Good morning to all of you. Truly, I'm just the woman at the well who met the man Jesus and got lit on fire. That's who I am.
Lisa, I thought you were the perfect person to kick this segment off. You have such a powerful story, so go ahead and tell us a little bit about it.
Well, like so many people, I know you can relate to this. Over 15 years ago, my husband and I were frustrated with abuse scandals, and we didn't know what we didn't know about the Catholic Church, so we left. We didn't leave God, but we did not want to be Catholic anymore, and we began to worship in a non-denominational church, which is where we would be for a number of years, until my brother started going to the Adoration Chapel. Three generations of my family left the church. My brother started going to an Adoration Chapel. Even though he was not practicing his Catholic faith, he kept feeling called there. He would go. And then he felt Our Lady inviting him to Medjugorje. And he heard that he was supposed to invite, interiorly, he heard that he was supposed to invite other men. So he invited our dad and I think five other men. And my brother-in-law went. They went to Medjugorje. Each one of these men had a profound encounter with the Lord. They all came back to the church. And then my brother came back, and he was on fire, and he's telling me, you have to come back, and I didn't want to hear it. And one day, the Holy Spirit had him change his tactic. He called me, and he said, Seth, he said, I'm not going to ask you to come back to the Catholic Church anymore. And I said, great. What do you want to talk about? He said, I'm going to ask you if you'll go to an Adoration Chapel and ask the Lord what he wants for your family. Well, that melted me. The next day, I went, and I felt peace. I went again. I felt peace. I went a third time, and in the parking lot, I said, Lord, if you have something to tell me, today's the day. So I walked in, knelt down, made the sign of the cross, and immediately I heard the Lord inviting me and calling me back to the Catholic Church, interiorly, not audibly, but in an unmistakable way. And that was the beginning of my journey back to the Sacrament of Reconciliation, and then back into full communion with the church, and now here I am.
Oh, amazing. Amazing story. You know, Lisa, that's a very raw and real story, and a lot of frustrations that you have had shared or had gone through, a lot of people are going through right now. We know of our local scandals that have happened throughout the years, and a lot of people were hurting and are still hurting. Any advice that you can give for those people who are really struggling right now and maybe knew a priest who they didn't think would have done something like that? It's shocking, honestly, for the community and for those who were close to him. So any advice that you can give for those who are struggling right now with that situation?
Yes, I would say Jesus and Our Lady are hurting too. And you're going to them, being real. I talked to my spiritual director about this too. Don't think I've got it all figured out now. Just a few weeks ago, in spiritual direction, I'm like, Father, what do we do with this? And he said, be real with God. He said, tell him and everything you're feeling. And I said, but Father, he's hurting too. He said, Lisa, he can take it. Tell the Lord everything you have to say about what you're experiencing, what you're feeling, what you're upset about. So that's my advice. Be real with God. Don't run away from him. Don't run away from the Eucharist. Like, press into the Eucharist. Press into going to adoration. Increase your prayer, but be real with God. That's the advice my spiritual director gave me a few weeks ago, and it's true. It's right.
Wow. Lisa, it's David. When you came back to the Catholic faith, well, all I know is I knew you after you came back to the Catholic faith because you were on fire. Everything you did, you were involved in everything. Mm-hmm. Lisa, you still are involved in everything. So what caused you to explode? I mean, you just coming back to the Catholic faith is different, but then what made you do all of this? What was this energy?
Oh, David, I love that you asked that question. It was developing a deep, intimate prayer life. For me, Lord, teach me to pray. Everybody knows. Everywhere I speak, I cannot tell my testimony without sharing about how that deep Ignatian prayer, learning how to hear the voice of God, connecting with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that's what lit me on fire. All that I was sealed in me at confirmation became released as I began to not just read Scripture, but pray deeply with Scripture daily. And I'm not saying it started that way. It was a journey and a process. But now, I don't know, all these 15 years later, I'm still facilitating Lord Teach Me to Pray, watching women and, well, I facilitate women's groups, but watching women whose families are being transformed, I would say it's not enough to say, yes, come back to the sacraments. Yes, yes, receive the Eucharist, go to confession. But you've got to take some steps to make the space to pray deeply and allow God to move. That is where I get the fuel to do everything that I do now. My husband affectionately calls me Fireball. He says, not the liquor. He's like, I never know where you're going. And I'm like, neither do I. And it's so much fun.
That's great. That's great. Fireball. That's okay.
I love it. Well, it seems like every university that I talk to that has a Catholic connection or a student center, you are there forming a women's or a parents prayer group. It's absolutely incredible what you have done and what you continue to do. I do have one question, though. How was it to, did you come to the conclusion with your husband that we have to come back? And how was that for your family? Because you do have children.
Oh, no, Gabby, that's another whole interview. I'm actually giving my testimony at Father Reuben Dykes' parish on October 7th for their Women's Morning of Prayer. This is the first time that I am really going to share the full story of my husband coming back to the church, because we had 2 years of a really big cross when we were totally at odds with each other. I came back with the children, our three sons. My husband loved me, respected me, but he said, Lisa, I'm not feeling that same call. I do not want to be Catholic. We went through a very difficult time for 2 years, but it is miraculous the way, again, I went to prayer, and the Holy Spirit had me doing things and, learning how to love no matter what, and one day God answered our prayers, and we are completely united and joyful Catholics.
That's awesome.
Wow. Any direction or any words that you can give to those couples who are struggling right now? One's Catholic, one isn't. They're struggling kind of at odds, kind of like your situation. I feel like a lot of people are in that boat right now.
Yes, you need to pray without ceasing, and you need to love really big. The Lord was very clear with me. He said, I don't need you. I'm a lawyer by training. I know how to argue, get my case across. And the Lord corrected me very gently in prayer one day, and he said, Lisa, I don't need you to argue for the Catholic Church. I need you to love fully and completely. And that's what the Lord taught me how to do. And one day, that is how God would move in my husband's heart. It's a great story.
Lisa, this is Damien. You mentioned spiritual direction. Quite often, people overlook that as part of their spiritual journey. Share with us the importance of that for you.
Well, for me, and for so many that I know, once you really start to grow in the spiritual life, it is so helpful to have someone who is a seasoned prayer warrior, whether they were a priest or someone who is a trained spiritual director. They will not tell you what to do. That's not what this is. This is not counseling. I tell my priest, this is what I'm experiencing with the Lord this month. Help me see what I need to see. I would encourage you, I know in New Orleans, I would imagine in Baton Rouge as well, the Archdiocese has an office where you can call and get the names of spiritual directors, meet with them, and figure out prayerfully which one you really connect with, and then start meeting with someone. It is really, really beneficial, especially when you're going through a really big spiritual struggle and battle, to have a spiritual director to help you see how God is moving.
Nice.
Amazing. That event you were talking about at Father Reuben Dykes' parish, who is that geared? Who's that for? Is that for women? And can women
That's
still
for
attend?
Men and women. I believe it's a free event. They started, Carol Reynolds is a parishioner at Father Reuben's parish. She started this ministry. It was on her heart. And I think if you reach out to Mater Della Rosa Parish in Independence, you can find out how to register. But it's just going to be a morning of prayer, reflection, and I will share the full story of our going from being in this total disagreement to being united in the faith.
Wonderful.
Amazing. Lisa Flood, Catholic wife and winner of the Regina Matrim Award in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. She's also a mother and does so many other things as well. So, Lisa, looking forward to hearing what you're going to do next. Thank you so much for being with us and opening up and telling us your story. It's very inspiring. Thank you so much.
Thank you. God bless y'all.
All right. I highly encourage taking a look at that event. I'll find it and link it in the comment section for today's Facebook Live video. Lisa has some powerful words to say, so
she was there from the very beginning of 690 AM, okay? She's one of the folks who helped get it going. So, pretty amazing lady.
Love that she is. Mm-hmm. Maddie Van Howe joins us when we return from the break. Catholic missionary of the Culture Project. Stay with us. It is half past the hour on Wake Up.
The hour, 25 before the top on this Thursday morning. Damian Collado along with Gabby Smith and David Dawson, and in studio with us right now is Miss Maddie Van Hout. She is a Catholic missionary of the Culture Project, and here to talk about that ministry as well as the purpose and outreach of what they do. Good morning, Maddie.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We are doing great. It's good to see someone else up and at it like we are.
I know. She's awake and she's smiling. Like, what the heck?
This doesn't happen often.
So let's talk about the Culture Project. I know very little about it. In fact, I didn't until the interview was coming up. I started to do a little bit of research. But what is the Culture Project and who's behind it?
Yeah, so this is an initiative of young people who are set out to restore culture through the experience of virtue. We were founded in Philly about 9 years ago, so we're still based in that area. We're located in Philly, Pittsburgh, Toledo, Cleveland, and Omaha.
Okay, and what is the mission and the purpose of the Culture Project?
Yeah, so we're known for going into middle schools and high schools, and we give talks on human dignity and sexual integrity. So in order to build up culture and through the experience of virtue, we need to start going to students in the younger generations. Mm-hmm. That's the only way that we're going to fix the culture.
Mm-hmm. So are we talking public schools, private schools, or both?
We mainly go into Catholic schools. There is a link on our website where anyone can schedule us to come give a talk. So if a public school were to schedule us, mm-hmm. we would go.
Well, I mean, they're talking about it. Mm-hmm. They haven't brought y'all in, is what you're saying.
I've heard that we have gone into public schools. It's a rare occurrence. But
okay. How many schools have y'all been a part of so far? How many schools have you been able to go into over the 9 years?
Yeah, so we've reached over 1,200 students. We've given over 600 presentations. I can't tell you the number of schools, but I know that a lot of the time, because we've been around for 9 years, we'll go to the same schools because they've known about us.
The Culture Project is Catholic-based, right?
Yes, it is.
So when you're going to the public schools, do you have to change the format as far as how you speak to them? What are you allowed to do?
I'm not sure. Yeah. I do know what's really cool about our mission is that while we are Catholic, everything that we teach isn't even necessarily Catholic. The principles that we teach are so foundational it really shouldn't matter who we're speaking to. Everything we talk about, human dignity, sexual integrity, mm-hmm. this is something that everyone should be looking into, no matter religious affiliation.
So how do you go about doing that? How do you talk about virtues, sexual dignity, integrity, all those things, and make it stick with the young people? Because it may sound impressive the first time you go, but is there follow-up? And how do you lay that foundation for them to get a true understanding?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think one of the best parts about Culture Project is that we give the schools the option for us to come in early and give a parent talk. So that way we're reaching the students, but we're also reaching the parents because they have to have that connection. Because once we leave, it's up to the parents. It's up to the parents either way, whether we're there or not. They're the ones who need to be establishing these virtues.
So the parents and the students are hearing the talks and presentations?
That's great.
Yes.
Well, good.
That's great, because I can imagine that the parents are hearing some of this for the first time, too. You know, like the theology, based on theology to the body, it sounds like.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so what's the response been? like?
Yeah, the response has been amazing. I mean, we've been able to be in 7 cities in the last 9 years.
Wow.
We used to have locations in Los Angeles and San Francisco. Unfortunately, because of COVID, the restrictions were so tight. We took a step back, but I know our executive director is talking about sending a travel team out to San Francisco this year.
Wow.
So we're making our way back to California, which is the goal right now, I think, for us.
So what is your role with Cultural Project? And tell us a little bit about what you do. And are you taking or recruiting other young people like yourself to do the same thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So I actually just found out I'll be based in Cleveland this year.
Okay.
So I'll be moving there in October after our month of training. So while I'm in Cleveland, I'll be giving talks at schools. I'll be living with 4 other missionaries. So 2 other women, 2 guys, and we'll be living together and going into schools and giving these talks. And then outside of that ministry, we'll be out in the diocese. We'll be helping out with homeless ministry. All of our locations are required to pray outside of an abortion clinic once a week.
Mm.
I know our team is looking to do that more often, especially with the recent vote coming up in Ohio. So we really want to be able to build up the pro-life community there. But we'll also be in the young adult community, youth groups, really whoever will let us come through their doors will be there.
Mm. How many missionaries do you all have then? It sounds like you're nationwide.
We only have 25 missionaries.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. So
that's doing a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So 25 missionaries, we have 5 locations. So wow. They're putting 5 missionaries in each location.
Any in Louisiana or Mississippi?
Locations? No, we don't. But missionaries, there's myself. There's another missionary from New Orleans. And I can name off at least 5 others who have done the Cultural Project in the past who are from Louisiana. Nice.
So how does one become a missionary? And what do they have to do in order to be at a level where you are, you can go and do presentations and participate like you do?
Yeah, so there's a link on our website where you can go and apply. And then you go through the interview process. It's typically 3 interviews. And then they'll let you know if you're hired. And so my mission year started actually this past June. We all went up to Latrobe, Pennsylvania at St. Vincent's College, and we had 2 weeks of training just to kick off the year, our formation process. So throughout this entire summer, I've been fundraising for my mission year, and I've been going through formation. So they've given us books to read, podcasts to listen to. We've had small group sessions where we're able to talk about it. And then I'll actually be driving up to New York in a week or two, and I'll be there for a little over a month. We're all staying at a monastery that's been turned into a retreat center, and we'll spend the entire month going more in-depth in formation. We'll be given the talks. We'll be learning how to give them. We'll be incorporating our own stories into those talks.
My goodness.
So we're really able to bring the personal aspect to the classroom and answer any questions that they might have.
I think it's amazing that young people like yourself are doing this type of project. What kind of pushback are you getting? How do you see today's young culture from the eyes of a young person like yourself? As a older adult, in my case, you know, it's like some people want to give up on you guys. And no, really, because they just figure they're going to hell in a handbasket. But because of all the things that are happening in our secular world, how are you able to bring those virtues to individuals? I think it's beautiful.
It gives us
but
hope.
Boy,
yes.
It's got to be a battle.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've even found it to be a battle this summer.
Mm-hmm.
Like the books that we're reading, I read Persuasive Pro-Life by Trent Horn, and I was like going into a coffee shop, and I was like, I don't know what's going to happen if I open up this book in this coffee shop.
Yeah.
Yeah, so even something as discreet as reading Catholic books in a coffee shop, you never know who will walk up to you.
Yeah.
But yeah, especially when we're in the classroom. And yeah, I agree. I've seen a mix of people who have seen my generation. It's like, oh, like...
Have you lost friends because of what you believe?
I haven't. High school, I went to a Christian non-denominational high school, so that was a little bit harder on me. So I really had my reversion in college while I was at Franciscan. But yeah, it's been really interesting coming home and telling people, yeah, I'm a missionary. Yeah.
How are you supported? Do you have to go and raise your own funds, or is this financially backed by someone?
Yeah, so I raise my own funds. All missionaries are required to raise a minimum of $2,700 a month.
Ah.
Yeah.
Well, we got work to do.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Okay. Yeah, so it's been a good summer, really just being able to share the mission with people, especially in the South, in Baton Rouge, has been amazing. A lot of people don't know about it here.
So somebody listening right now says, I want to support you guys. They're going to go to, where are they going to go?
Yeah, so I have a donation link.
Okay.
I know it should be popping up somewhere.
Yeah, cultureproject.org?
Yeah, so the cultureproject.org, there's a link if you scroll all the way to the bottom on the right-hand side. It should say donate.
Okay.
So you click on that and...
I'm sure. Gabby will post that for us on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. So. Maddie Van Hunt, thank you so much.
Indeed.
And good luck to you. Keep doing God's work.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
Good
God
to bless. Have you.
Thanks.
You're going to miss the heat.
Oh, yeah.
All right, stick around. We've got more coming your way on Waco.
Forty-eight past the hour, you're tuning your heart to the truth. I'm David Dawson, along with Gabby Smith and Damian Collado. And right now, we have a very, very special guest, Archbishop Gregory Amon, Archbishop of the Archdiocese of New Orleans. Good morning.
Good morning, David. How are you today?
I'm great. I'm great. How are things going with you?
Things are going fine, and greetings to all the listeners that are joining us this morning.
Yes, indeed. Well, we're kicking off a school year, Archbishop. How is that going in the Archdiocese now?
It's going very well. All of our schools are up and running, and slight increase in enrollment in many of our schools, so we're very happy with that.
Oh, yeah.
Kids seem to be in good routine. Teachers are very dedicated, and parents are very dedicated in getting their children to school and giving them the opportunity for education. And also, we're starting not only our Catholic schools, but also our schools of religion, the parish school of religion. So that's starting up as well, as well as family catechesis. So with a lot of good things happening at this time when we call people back into a different routine.
What do you attribute the increase in enrollment to? Because that's good news.
We don't really know yet. We're just getting preliminary numbers, so we really don't know yet. But we're grateful for the number of people who want Catholic education.
Yeah.
And for those who come to our parish schools of religion, we're very grateful for that inquiry, and we certainly want to serve them.
Now, when you're saying a parish or schools of religion or parish schools from religion, describe that. What are those as different from the other schools?
Well, those would be schools where their regular education is taking place in other private schools or in public schools, and they come to the religion, they come to obtain their religious education through the parish.
I see. It's an after-hours thing, I would imagine.
That's correct.
It's a good
after-hours and on weekends.
Right. Okay. A good supplement to their Catholic faith. I think that's wonderful. How many schools are in the Archdiocese? It just seems like just driving around, they're everywhere.
They're everywhere.
Yeah.
At the present time, we have about 60, I think.
My goodness. Amazing. And to have that.
Well, and New Orleans has such a wonderful reputation for good Catholic education. Mm-hmm. There's one on every corner, it so seems. And it's always full of life. And you know that you're going to be seeking a quality Catholic education for your child when you enroll them in Catholic school. I always knew that as a child, the reputation of New Orleans Catholic schools. So, and even as adults seeing that as well.
Yeah.
I think the Archdiocese does a good job, Archbishop, with the Catholic education formation.
Well, thank you. And that's because of dedicated principals, dedicated faculty, dedicated priests who run the parishes, who operate the parishes. So it's and also dedicated parents who collaborate. So we are very grateful.
Have they all officially taken in, or are there still some that have yet to open, or is everything underway?
They're all opened. You can tell by the traffic.
Okay.
You can tell by the traffic. Everything is opened.
Okay. Because here in Baton Rouge, it's no different in traffic. It's horrible either way. So I was just, now, why should someone choose a Catholic school over other education?
Well, a Catholic school gives the opportunity not only for the teaching of religion, but also it provides an environment, a Christian environment, from things like crucifixes to statues to learning prayers, to learning devotions. And so it gives people an opportunity to talk about their faith, to live their faith, to experience their faith, and to see faith in teachers and in the principal and in the priests. Mm-hmm. So it gives them an opportunity to see faith around them every day, throughout the day. Mm-hmm. And that's not allowed, obviously, in Catholic schools or in some other private schools. That's not allowed. Mm-hmm. And so it does give them a holistic approach to their faith, that it's not something just confined to religion class. It's something that they have to live, and that classes start with a prayer, and that they're invited into a deeper relationship with the Lord Jesus, not only by what they learn, but also by the example of the faculty.
Oh, I love that you can actually bring Christ into pretty much every topic that is taught in the Catholic schools. Right. Isn't that right?
That's right, and that's the ideal, that mm-hmm. in all subjects, you know, whether it's social studies or English or science or whatever, that or even a language, that you would be able to incorporate something about the church and about Christ.
You know, New Orleans culture is like no other culture in the nation, and and I'm sure the Catholic schools have their own uniqueness. Talk about that.
Well, I think that they're unique in that they are. It's part of our tradition. It's handing on the Catholic tradition, mm-hmm. and we're proud of that tradition. It's been with us for a long time. Catholic schools have been with us. The first Catholic school in the United States was started by the Ursuline Sisters here in New Orleans.
And
so there's a very long tradition, yeah. and we're very proud of that tradition, and we want to keep that tradition going.
That is amazing. What vocations can do. In fact, getting a little bit off the topic, we heard some good news a little earlier this week when we were talking to Father Cahill, that vocations you've got like 9 or 10 new seminarians coming up?
We have 9 new seminarians that just joined us, and so that gives us a total right now of 24 young men
wow.
who are studying for the priesthood for the Archdiocese of New Orleans, so we're very blessed by
that. My goodness, that gives us great hope, because it just,
yes.
you know, every priest that, you know, we can tell you, and you're as, you know as well, that every priest is very precious to us and very much
sure.
needed. So.
And, you know, you can look at some media outlets, and they don't value religion. Some of them don't value our church.
Right.
And so they want to put down vocations. But the fact is that vocations are alive and well. God is still calling young men to the priesthood and to the diaconate. And they're not so young as well.
Right.
He's also calling people to religious life as sisters and brothers. And so vocations are still, they aren't what they were 40, 50 years ago, but this is a different culture.
Yes.
But they certainly mm-hmm. are people, young men are responding to the call to the priesthood and to discerning that call, and we're very pleased and very proud of them. The 9 seminarians that we have that just joined us are very, really stellar men.
Yes, bless the seminarians that are already studying, and it's just amazing. And what gives you great hope is, in this culture, like you're saying, these guys are just walking right up to the battlefront, aren't they?
Yeah.
They are indeed.
Yes.
They are indeed, and very happy to do it.
Wow. Well, we sure thank you for joining us again. We love hearing your updates and how things are going in the Archdiocese. And before we let you go, could you leave us with a blessing?
Sure. Loving God, we thank you for this day. And we know that in this day you not only love us, but you call us to be disciples of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Help us to follow him and to also respond to the lead of your Holy Spirit to guide us and to lead us in all that we are and all that we do today. Help us to make good decisions. Help us to love others, even our enemies. And may Almighty God bless us, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Archbishop Gregory Amen, thank you once again for joining us, and we hope to talk
David.
To you soon.
Thank you, Gabby. Thank you, David.
God bless.
Thank you. Oh, I love getting updates from Archbishop Amen. I know he's busy, so when he makes time for us, it's always a good thing. So
yeah.
Love hearing from him and different bishops. But Thank you so much for being with us today. We'll get you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. We have a wonderful lineup for you tomorrow. We are talking events in our listening area, and the reason we keep doing that is because we have so many of them. So you can go to our website at ccmedia.live and take a look at all of them. Gary Zimak joins us with Following the Truth. He's a Catholic author and speaker. Amy Ponson with the Catholic Foundation of South Louisiana of the Diocese of Houma-Thibodaux will be updating us. And Bishop Lewis Kinneman from the Diocese of Biloxi will be giving us an update on his diocese. Have a wonderful Thursday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.